Hello and welcome to episode 90 of the How to Sleep podcast. In this episode, you'll learn how to set goals when you have a sleep issue in a way that avoids overwhelm and maximises the chances that you stick to them even when you're exhausted.
Welcome to the How to Sleep podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Blakeman, qualified adult sleep coach, a previous sufferer of insomnia and mum of three. I believe that sleep is fundamental to your enjoyment of the life you've worked so hard to create, and I support adults like you who are struggling to sleep to get back to sleep and back to living your life in full colour and with maximum energy. This podcast is for you if you are taking ages to get to sleep, or waking in the night and can't get back to sleep, or both. Keep listening to find out how sleep works, the essential elements you need to get the sleep you deserve, and actionable steps that you can take.
So this has unexpectedly become a bit of a series over the last few episodes around goal setting and working out your goals, although I didn't set out to do that, but there we are. So you're going to get the most benefit out of this episode if you've already listened to episode 87, which was about clearing stuff out and making space and energy in your life for new goals, which is essential when you have a sleep issue because energy is finite. And also episode 89, which was about working out what you actually want, because it's really easy to set goals on a whim, particularly when we get in the mood of January and New Year's resolutions, without actually working out what your priorities are. And when your energy is limited because you're tired all the time, if you're not careful, you can fall into the trap of setting goals and filling up your plate with stuff that doesn't actually move you any closer to where you really want to be and what you really want to do. So you really have to be clear about what you actually want to do in the first place. So the holidays in December are the time that I use to do the clear out and then reflect on my priorities and figure it out what I want to do. And so now I'm at the start of the year and I'm ready to get down into the specifics of goal setting and planning. And I use a particular way of doing this, which I want to share with you. If you don't have a sleep issue, then the normal way of setting goals is to just dive in there and start a list of additional things that you want to do and then get stuck in. And it's often about what we think we should do, we must do. It's all about the doing. And that's how we're traditionally taught to goal set. Jump straight into a big action list. When you have a sleep issue, your brain knows that you don't have the energy for this. So when you start with a big list, it feels heavy straight away. So rather than feeling motivated, you can already start to feel like a slight anxiety or panic or just heaviness and tiredness about this list. And in addition, when you start off trying to implement the list, it requires you to engage willpower right from day one. And that's either to get you through all the tasks on your new list or to fight with yourself to stop doing something that you've decided you shouldn't do anymore. And I'm betting that you've set goals like this before because I know you are a driven and committed person and you love goals and you love new challenges. But I also know that you'll probably feel really disappointed and angry at yourself if you don't meet your goals. So I don't want that for you, and that's why I'm sharing with you this alternative approach. I like to goal set differently by thinking really carefully about the feelings and the energy of the stuff rather than the tasks and the doing. So let me explain what I mean by that. When you have a sleep issue, you spend a lot of time feeling the weight of your lack of sleep. It literally feels like a burden. It's a dragging feeling. You're fighting that tiredness all the time. So in everything that you do, you acutely feel the energy of a task more than people that don't have a sleep issue. So that's why I focus on framing and executing goals from an energy point of view. I want to be doing things that either bring me energy or in a way that brings me energy, and I want to be conscious of how much energy as well as time that my goals are actually using up. So here's three basic rules that I follow when I'm goal setting. First rule is I have goals in different areas of life, so it's a balance. And the reason I view this as really important is that it actually helps you with sleep, even if the goals you've set have got nothing on the face of it to do with sleep. That's because a lack of balance in your life can be a contributing factor to your sleep issue. And this is anecdotal, but I really believe from working with clients that the subconscious brain feels more content when you're living a life which, from day to day and week to week, provides you with a mix of experiences and interactions and environments which make you happy. That's just my fundamental belief and my anecdotal observation, that your subconscious craves that whole bunch of balanced life. And when you get to the end of the day and we haven't lived that life or are weak in balance, that then that throws us off. And most of us have a whole array of things which make us happy, which bring us joy, which bring us energy, not just one thing. But what we tend to do is we prioritize some sources of happiness over others. And that's usually something that either society or other people deem are important, and we're reflecting that back. Like, we prioritize how much money we earn, or how good we look, or whether or not we're in a relationship, and then we end up goal setting into this narrow viewpoint, or from a particular area of fear or of lack in our life where we're trying to get something more. But really what we need to do is take a step back and look at the whole mix of things that make us feel happy and fulfilled and fill our life with these things in balance. And therefore, it makes logical sense that if we're going to get into some sort of formal system of goal setting and planning, that we'll feel more content if the goals are balanced too and the plans are balanced too. So, for example, what this means in practice is if you set a career or a business goal, you might also want to set goals around what you do in your free time, which are nothing to do with your career or your business. Traditionally, what we do is we set goals only for these typical things like career or health, and then we just assume that what we'll do is we'll fit in the fun stuff with whatever time and energy we have left. And that works for many people, but the problem is twofold when you have a sleep issue. First, there is no time and energy left after you've done all the dull stuff, or, you know, the priority stuff that's traditionally a priority. And secondly, if you did have any time and energy left, you tend to just reach for something that requires no planning or no foresight or forethought, like just watching TV. So you just slump in front of the TV with any spare time, or you get back to scrolling your phone, or you just lapse into something that's dead easy. So it's much better to look at areas that you want to develop, like hobbies or socializing or even religion or spirituality or whatever things that you're into, which you love to do for no other reason other than you love to do them, and they make you feel joyful and they bring you energy or relaxation, and form some goals around these. So don't just leave them to chance, form some goals around them. And then those goals will sit alongside with equal weighting and importance to your more traditional goal areas. The second rule is all your goals should be phrased in a way that makes them positive statements of where you want to be or something that you want to experience, rather than a naughty list of things which you want to stop doing. So this keeps the energy around the goal light and exciting, not heavy and not onerous. So if you want to stop eating junk food, for example, then you wouldn't phrase the goal as eat less junk food. You'd phrase it as a positive statement linked to the feeling that you want to get to. So it might be, I want to eat more fruit because it makes me feel healthy and fresh. So again, another example, instead of thinking, okay, I didn't make enough money last year, so I want to make more money and I need to do X, Y, and Z in order to do those and just have a massive task list and have a massive task list, you could phrase it as, I really want to experience a 10K month because it will feel like such a great personal achievement and I'll be able to take that holiday that I always wanted to Barbados. So now, as soon as you think of these goals, they become lighter, they become optimistic, they're fun, they're based on a positive feeling that you can conjure up in your mind and a positive state. And if you apply these first and second rules together, so you only have one business goal and then a couple of fun other goals to balance it out, then all of a sudden the year ahead just looks so exciting and full of possibility, and you know that it's not all going to be, oh, this list of things you should do and it's heavy and it's hard work and it's unreachable. And the final rule, the third rule, is don't set too many goals. A maximum of 5 goals for the entire year would be good, and you wouldn't attempt to start all these at the beginning of the year. So I use a quarterly planning cycle and I just focus on 3 goals at a time. So for example, if I had 5 goals, there might be some goals which I wouldn't start in January, there'd be 2 which I would start later in the year. So using the three rules, you should have your maximum five goals. Then what you want to do is you take each of these in turn and you chunk them into four milestones which marry up to the four quarters of the year. Now, some goals might not take 12 months, so you could chunk them into two quarters or three quarters or whatever. And some goals might take more than a year, in which case you'd have a long-term goal and you just define where you would want to be on that journey by the end of the year and then take that and chunk that into four. So then once you've chunked them up, you decide which of the three goals you're going to start with in the first quarter. Take them and chunk them up into 10 weeks of actual actions. So things that you'd have to achieve in each week to meet the milestone at the end of the first quarter. Now, I know there are 12 weeks in a quarter, but I personally use 10 weeks, not 12, because if you have a sleep issue, it gives you 2 weeks grace. And then if you have a really bad week of sleep and you don't get anything done because you're feeling so tired, it gives you some grace for that. Once you've done the chunking into the 10 weeks, have a look at it. Does it look realistic? If it's not achievable in the 10 weeks and you've jammed it too much in, then shift out the time horizon further. There's no point in setting yourself unachievable goals. And remember, they have to be achievable with the level of energy that you currently have. Not achievable for someone who sleeps really well and has no kids and has no other commitments, blah, blah, blah. Keep your bar relevant to you, keep it moderate, don't set it too high. And also don't forget, it should relate back to the clearing out exercise that you did previously in listening to the previous podcast episode where I talked about clearing out. So if you did that exercise and you cleared out, say, 2 hours a week of existing commitments, then your new goals shouldn't be any more than 2 hours a week worth of new activity. Otherwise, you won't get them done. That's just obvious. Something has to clear out before you can bring a new thing in. So then you would know that if you divided it down and you think it's going to take me more than 2 hours a week to do this, you either need to push out the time scale beyond the quarter, or you need to go back and let go of some more existing commitments to make that time. You've by now gone from some really big goals for the year into a smaller number of clear goals for the quarter, and then you've broken those down further still into each week in quarter one, or 10 of the weeks of quarter one. So now you're all set. You can then, as you get to each week, as you go through January, you can go to the list, pick out the action that you had for that week, and then plan it down further into how you're actually going to achieve that through the week. And what that does is, for your tired brain, it gives you both the reassurance that you're on track with your larger goals, but you don't need the burden of thinking and worrying about all of your goals all of the time. So you know that all you have to focus on is each week that you've set out, and then at the beginning of each week you have to chunk it up into each day, and then each day you only have to focus on that day. And hopefully you've got it down so that literally you've just got one task each day and you've whittled it down to that level. And then once you do that task, then you can be satisfied that not just did you do that one task, but obviously then that your larger goal is on track. And then when you come to go to sleep, or in the middle of the night when your mind kicks in and it's worrying, it's much easier to remind yourself that you don't need to have all these thoughts and worries about your goals or your future generally, because it's all mapped out already. Now, the final part of this process is to make time on the 12th week to look back at the progress made in the previous weeks. So did you stick to the plan? If you didn't stick to your plan, was it too ambitious? Do you need to extend the timeline? Do you need to clear out more existing commitments to make the time? Do you need to change your approach? If it is working, you can ask yourself, did you love it? Did you enjoy it during the weeks? Did you love the overall goal still? Have you still got it in your mind? Does it still bring you joy when you think about where you're going to? Because it's okay to do something for 12 weeks, commit to it for 12 weeks, and then decide to stop it or change it. That's the whole point of this quarterly planning. You didn't make a year commitment. You had an idea of a goal for a year, but you only agreed to commit to it for 12 weeks. And I think this approach is particularly good for those of you who feel like once you agree that you're going to do something like a New Year's resolution, then you should do it for at least the whole of that year or forever. Otherwise, it feels like a failure if you stop. But it's not. You just simply got to the end of 12 weeks and then you changed your mind and you moved on to a new goal. It's fine. One last thing I would say and I know I'm biased, but I believe that if you have a sleep issue, then one of your goals should be to fix your sleep. Because as soon as you do that, you'll free up additional energy to achieve all the other things on your list. So yes, I'm biased, but honestly, the science is there. You should tackle this thing first. And of course, I'm here if you need support with that. The link for my website is in the show notes. But even if you don't get my help, that doesn't matter to me, in the sense that my wish for you is that you fix your sleep issue, because it will change your life and it will absolutely empower you to get all of your achievements and your goals and your dreams fulfilled this year. All right, have a good week and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. I hope you found some value in today's episode. If you did, and you know others who would benefit from hearing this information as well, then please share with them. And if you would be so kind as to leave a positive review of the podcast, this will support me in my mission to spread the message of sleep as wide as possible. Thank you so much. If you can't wait until the next episode and you want more guidance right now, then head on over to my website and get access to my free sleep resources, link in the show notes. Or follow me on Instagram at nikki.blakeman. Wishing you a peaceful night's sleep.